For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, as always, Ed Jordanic, also joining us from NDNation.com, Mike Coffey. Coffey, we were chatting just a little bit there about keys to the game, and certainly from the defensive side of things, there's some areas of concern for us, and I got to believe that one of them starts at the middle linebacker play.
Yes, absolutely. I think both Fox and Calabrese didn't have a great first half, and it's been mentioned that, you know, Temple had a new coach, new quarterback, so it's possible that none of the film would be useful, so they were really kind of prepared. They had to go vanilla until they saw what they were actually going to do, which would explain why they played so much better in the second half. But by the same token, there were still too many plays where Fox or Calabrese or even Grace, when he was in there, just weren't in the right position, or they weren't where they needed to be to make the play. And so many times Temple was able to exploit them being out of position to turn what should have been like maybe a 1 or 2 yard gain into a 7 or 9 yard gain. And Michigan is going to be a hell of a lot better than that than Temple was. I think the key is going to be that the inside linebackers, both of them, have to play better than they did against Temple, because otherwise you're creating a huge void right in the middle of the field from 8 to 15 to 20 yards out that I think Gardner's really going to be able to exploit either with his feet or with his arm, because those can be relatively easy passes if you don't have good coverage on the tight end or a back coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you a bunch there. And my concern is just that I do think they played a lot better in the second half. And, you know, some of the reasons you just mentioned could be reasons for that. But I do think that it's going to be – the game is probably going to come down to the play of our linebackers and how well we cover the field inside that box of, you know, 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. You know, other than that, I got to believe Nix is going to be double teamed all night long. You're going to probably not have us sacking Gardner all that often, but by the same token, I'm guessing it's probably not going to be too surprising if we kind of play that defense where we control them. We're going to keep Gardner inside the tackles. And I'm guessing if I'm Notre Dame, I'm saying, you know what, make that kid beat us, make him be the guy that plays spectacularly in order to beat us, but he's going to be forced to throw the football and throw into coverage and make some plays. Ed, would you agree?
No, I agree with that. I think if we kind of approach the game similarly to the way we did with Denard last year, I mean, I think you've got a better passer, but you've got somebody who's mobile, but certainly not as good a runner as Denard. And I thought we did a fantastic job keeping Denard bottled up, and we forced him to throw the football. You know, and I you know, listen, if Devin Gardner goes, you know, 26 for 32 for 381 yards and 4 touchdowns, and we lose, well, you know, tip your hat to him, and you went in with the plan, and it was absolutely the wrong plan because you never expected him to be that good or his receivers to be that good. But I think the likelihood of that happening is low. I think we've got a really a good secondary that can make up for maybe some lack of speed or some slowness in the some deficiencies in the middle of the field. But I also think that we have to be very careful to take too much away from this Temple game. I mean, you know, after Navy last year, we were like really convinced that our secondary was going to get torched all year because, you know, we gave up a passing touchdown against Navy, the worst, you know, passing team in the history of football. And, you know, I think too much can be drawn from that first game. First of all, I think stylistically, Michigan is just night and day from Temple. I think we match up much better with them. So to me, you know, I think we have the potential to force some turnovers. I think we have the potential to bottle up their running game. I mean, Toussaint is a very good runner, but it's a relatively young offensive line, and their strength in their offensive line is not in the middle. It's their left tackle, which traditionally, you can run behind him, but his real, strength is he's 6'8", and he's going to keep – he's probably going to come to a standoff with Tuitt. Maybe Tuitt will get him once or twice, but for the most part, it's going to be pretty difficult to get to Gardner from the blind side because that guy's so good. So I think just focus on bottling up the running game and everything will be fine.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. It wouldn't surprise me if we have more of a controlled rush Saturday night where our guys are standing guys up and maybe not pinning our ears back going flat after them. I would be a bit surprised if we come out and blitz packages against Gardner. I think we'll mix it up a little bit, but I don't know why. I just have a gut feeling that they're going to say, hey, look, you're going to have to beat us and we're going to make you make decisions that you really haven't made in big games. And like you say, if he comes out of it with, a big, huge game and runs it up on us, okay, then give him credit and we get our hands slapped for maybe the obvious logical approach that just backfired on us. But I tend to agree with you as well. I think the defense is pretty good. We might – Jalon Smith may see some stuff thrown at him. I mean, if you're going to pick some spots that you might think are vulnerabilities, I mean, that's a true freshman plan where in an outside position – in formations where he's got the wide side of the field. I mean, maybe they're going to try and pick on him. There might be some of that, tight end dumps and so forth. But other than that, I mean, I'm of the opinion that Gardner's going to have to scramble for quite a lot. And then their running game is going to have to be good. And he's going to have less than two turnovers. I mean, I just don't see them turning the ball over twice and running away with us on the scoreboard. I just don't see it happening. Coffee, on one question I got for you is, on the offensive side of the ball, are you at all concerned with us rotating what seems to be right now five running backs?
I'm not necessarily concerned about the backs.
Make it six since Will Mahone is now cleared to play, so.
Oh, that's true.
That's right, exactly.
That's true. I think what Ed said about not reading too much into Temple applies more so to that than anything else. I think the game situation allowed the possibility of having all six guys rotate in. I'm really not all that averse to bringing the fresh man in, especially the guy who, like, even beyond a change of pace back, if we have six guys who can contribute, then there's no reason we just can't run like crazy and not worry about wearing somebody out because we've got somebody else we can just kind of toss in there. I was very I thought Carlisle had a good game. I thought Cam McDaniel had an excellent game. I think just about all the running backs. Atkinson is still running a little bit high, and he makes me nervous every time he goes weaving into traffic with his shoulders
that,
up. And
that worked pretty well for Sierre Wood.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I'll be surprised. I'm with you there. I'll be surprised by that if Atkinson sees a lot of carries, to be honest with you.
I mean, he'll still be involved in the kicking game, which is certainly fine. But I think if we can, as good a hands as he had, maybe we'll see Atkinson like maybe motioning out to the slot sometimes. Or he's definitely much more of a pass catching threat. But I really think what has me even more excited is being able to rotate five or six wide receivers in there, because when you have someone like TJ Jones lining up in the slot, because you've got wideouts who are just as good if not better than him at the standard wideout positions, and either Michigan's either going to have to put a safety on him, or God forbid they have to put God help them if they have to put a linebacker on them, because that's just going to, I think Notre Dame is going to be able to create all kinds of problems for Michigan's defense just going with three. They don't have to go four or five wide. Just going three wide should be enough to cause them problems with the stable wide receivers we have.
Ed, what are your thoughts? I mean, what are you anticipating we're going to do offensively? Is there going to be any kind of, you think, unique approach to this, or is it just going to be, hey, look, we're coming at you with our package and let's see if you can stop
us? That's a really interesting question, because you know how they like to script plays, and I was thinking about, okay, if I was kind of scripting the first 20 plays, I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, I think, not for a bad reason, but just because it seems like we have a lot of balance and a lot of different ways to attack this defense. But, you know, we've got a good offensive line. I think you want to try and put yourself in second and short, you know, and the way to do that is, you know, kind of establish a running game or establish those swing passes, you know, use your athletes and kind of loosen things up a little bit. My recollection and my kind of impression of Brian Kelly is that's what he likes to do. He likes to come out firing a little bit and loosen things up and then go to the pound it, then go to the run, then go to the, you know, so he can put himself in a position in the third and fourth quarter to kind of come straight at you with a lead. I think that's what he likes to do. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they go up top again, you know, early on. And, you know, I think you'll see Koyak and Welch more involved. You know, I think like Coffey said, you know, he's got, there's receivers to spread the ball around. And I think, you know, what we have, and we don't realize it yet, is what we have is we have an offense now that's much more in the hands of the quarterback than it has been since in the Brian Kelly era. In other words, a quarterback who has the trust of the coordinator, the play caller on the sidelines, the head coach, more than at any other time in Brian Kelly's tenure. In other words, they trust him to check into things. They trust him to read the defense and, you know, make a decision. So I think that, yeah, they may come out with a specific, you know, framework, but I think the play called from the sidelines is not necessarily going to be the play that's run or the direction that they go, you know, 50% of the time. I think, you know, Tommy's going to step to the line and they're going to trust him to make the right call.
Yeah, that was the exact point I was going to make. And I really do think we're going to see that Saturday night. I think that Tommy, just because of the nature of his football IQ, is probably going to have a heck of a lot of leeway at the line of scrimmage. And just as you said, I believe 100% that Brian Kelly is the kind of guy that does like to loosen it up early on. I mean, look what he did against Alabama with Brown going down the middle of the field in the first series. It wouldn't surprise me if Tommy is given the go-ahead that the very first time he sees man coverage on any of our key guys, we may see that over-the-top throw right off the bat, right in the first quarter. And like you say, trying to loosen them up. The other thing is I do think that a lot of the game will probably come down to how well Tommy orchestrates things on the at the line of scrimmage, checking into the right plays, checking out of plays that are going to be a problem based on their alignment. And I do think he's far better than a lot of college football quarterbacks today. I mean, he's really got a knack for that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we get any kind of cushion. He does that five times in the first half, where TJ does that little hook route that he runs 7 yards down the
sure,
you know, 7 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Well, also, I mean, so correct me if I'm wrong, but Michigan has, you know, defensive backfield people, safeties, et cetera, coming off suspension, coming off injury, coming off arthroscopic surgery, that type of thing. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to be very tuned in to how those guys are moving and how they're looking out there. And you know, they're going to make Tommy aware of that and have made him aware of that this week. So, you know, they're going to look for those opportunities for, you know, somebody back there that they get them into a one-on-one situation or that looks a step slow. And you're right, they won't hesitate to you know, and again, the key will be where Tommy puts the ball, right? If he puts it where only, you know, a receiver can get to it, you know, then we're going to be fine. You know, if he makes some bad throws, then, you know, and we lose a turnover battle, then I think that's what could, you know, move this game and move momentum against us.
Yeah. You think there's any other thoughts to that, Coffey? Any surprises we may see, or do you think they may just smash mouth?
I think it's going to be relatively straightforward. I agree with that. I think that we have the what. I agree that that they have a lot of trust in Tommy Rees, but I also believe that, as I said before, we've got the weapons now. Not only do we have incredibly good receivers, so deep at running back, and what we haven't talked about yet, the offensive line, I thought had a pretty good game. Now, again, it's against Temple. Okay, fine. But I think that they played pretty cohesively. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. And I think just with those, there's so much, for lack of a better phrase, basic skill that I don't think they're going to need trickery. They're not going to need surprises. I think they're going to go out there and say, we are going to execute our offense because we have the personnel to do it. Let's see you stop us.
Yeah, I would agree. What about, I mean, are you any concern at all, Ed, on the kicking game? I mean, what do you expect to see Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, there's always concern because, number one, you know, funny things happen in this series. I mean, it's a great, you know, there's been a great history of games that, you know, especially when it comes to kicks, you know, it comes close. Remy Hamilton, you know, Reggie Ho, Mike Gillette, you know, Harry Oliver. I mean, you name it, you know, those are just the field goals kickers, the kickers. You know, then you go into Rocket and you go into Anthony Carter and you go into Tim Brown and you go into the return guys, and you know, and so and punting will play a part, of course. So all those things, you know, listen, Notre Dame can't, you know, fall on its face in any phase of the game and expect to win. You know, if it's very deficient or has a poor game in one of the three areas, they'll lose. But I'll tell you what, you know, it's going to be real interesting who he sends out there for that first field goal attempt, because the fact is that, you know, Brinza, you know, he did what they needed last year. He made some big kicks and some big games. This is a big game, so it's going to be real interesting. You know, they've got a 38-yard attempt there in the first quarter. Who's he going to send out there? And my gut says he's going to have Brinza do everything on Saturday. He's going to have him punt. He's going to have him kick off. He's going to have him field goal kick. Maybe he'll have Tausch kick extra points. But I have a feeling that that's all you're going to see from Tausch.
Yeah, I tend to agree with him. I mean, just in the press conference earlier this week, I mean, it sounded like Kelly had no idea what he was going to do at that point. But I think when it comes down to it, he's probably going to lean towards that, and we may see Brinza most of the night. I'll be a little surprised if that isn't the case. But other than that, I mean, Coffey, do you have any thoughts on the return game? Is that going to be much in this game, or do you think both sides are just going to play it safe?
Well, I could see them playing it safe. I liked what I saw to a degree in the punt return game against Temple. I like that we're trying to get positive yardage to move the ball. But what concerns me is we're still seeing the opposing team's gunners are still getting downfield way too easy. We're still catching punts with like two guys in white jerseys like within 5 yards. And I like that we're trying to make things happen. What's going to concern me is if we're trying to make things happen for the sake of them happening and a punt gets muffed, or so, because a turnover on special teams is a huge momentum swing in any game. And I think at Ann Arbor, it's going to be even worse. So I'm hoping to see better blocking on returns, just so we can make sure that we're that it becomes a net positive. And we also need, on the flip side, definitely need better kick and punt coverage. I mean, Temple got a lot of yards last Saturday. It seems like every time 9, 10 yards and kickoff, the couple kickoffs going out to the 30, 35, got to get the coverage.
Well, now, wait a second. There was one bad kickoff return. I mean, Brinza put two or three into, I mean, I don't know how many kickoffs there were, five or six, but there was, you know, two averages, which, you know, two average ones, which to me is like 25 or less, you know, or good ones. And there was one at the start of the second half, right, that went out to the 40 or 45, and then the rest were in the end zone. So you're right. They can't, you don't want to let Michigan get out to the 40 or 45, but I don't think it was a poor performance in that regard. And on the punts,
I saw some degrees of improvement. I think though, especially on punt return, there's still a little, we still have to work on making sure that the returner can get the opportunity to field the punt cleanly and make something happen, and not try to make something happen just for the sake of making something happen and possibly turning it over.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm going to make a little prediction here. I do think TJ Jones is going to have a big return. I don't know if he'll take one all the way back, but I just think that he is got a mindset back there that he has confidence in himself, and I think he's got the moves this year that he didn't have necessarily last year. Not big, huge differences, but I just I see him as just a much more aggressive football player this year than he's been last year, just in the little that we saw in Temple, but also in the comments around the football program about how aggressive he's been and what he's looking like. So I do think we're going to see that, and I'm hoping that's the case.
I agree.
What are your thoughts on what's going to be the difference maker? Is it turnovers? I mean, do you think that the obvious one is team that has the most turnovers loses?
Yeah, no, of course, that'll be a big one. But I think the main difference is going to be the quarterback play. And I think Tommy Rees is going to outplay Devin Gardner. I think he's going to have better statistics. I think he's going to have fewer mistakes. And I think he's going to be the main reason. There's it's always kind of a combination of things. But I think he's going to be a very big reason that Notre Dame wins, or the main reason Notre Dame loses if they lose. I think this is a good matchup for Notre Dame. I mean, I think, you know, Michigan, if it has some areas that are a little bit, question marks, it's definitely offensive line. You know, Notre Dame's defensive line, I think, you know, is one of the best in the country. You know, I don't think the Temple game means a whole hell of a lot in that regard, and I think they'll play well. And I think that, one of the strengths of Notre Dame is definitely its offensive line. And Michigan's defensive line is good and aggressive, but I don't think it's Alabama. You know, I don't think it's Stanford. I don't think it's, you know, I'm not sure it's USC. It's good, but it's, you know, I mean, at Michigan State, I didn't mean USC. USC is a sieve. I think that the strengths match up well in Notre Dame's favor. But I would say that if I had to throw one thing out there that will decide the outcome, it'll be the quarterback play.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Coffee, I'm going to let you go first. Give me your prediction and why.
Okay, I predict it'll be 21-17 Notre Dame late in the fourth quarter. Gardner's going to throw a pick six, 28-17 final. I think that we're looking at least another three turnovers from Michigan in this game. I think Notre Dame's going to win the turnover battle. And in the areas where there may be weaknesses for Notre Dame, they won't be weak enough to really hurt us. And I'm also setting an over-under of 5 for the number of people in the stands who have to be carried out after they have seizures for those stupid blue lights that they're going to be handing out.
Has anybody checked the weather? What's it supposed to be like? Do we know?
I think it's supposed to be pretty nice. A little bit on the warm side, yeah, but I think it's supposed to be pretty nice.
No rain or anything, right? That's what I thought.
I don't think so.
Ed, what are your thoughts?
I'm thinking I've been saying 31-20 Notre Dame, and Michigan's going to get a garbage touchdown late in the last 2 or 3 minutes. I think it's kind of a I think it's going to be pretty decisive. I think it's going to remind us a lot in style and outcome of Oklahoma last year.
Oklahoma, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I want to think that. I just
I know it's hard. The perception of these guys is still that we're not a program yet, a winning program. But you know, I mean, the national media has kind of stroked our fears about last year being a fluke, about Tommy Rees, about blah 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 blah. And I think, you know, I think it because of the scars that we have from the previous 15 years, I think we continue to just kind of buy into that a little bit. But I think Notre Dame is better on paper. I think they've played better for the last, 18 months. And I think that they've also proven that they play better on the road than they do at home. I mean, we forget that.
They go into these
hostile environments, and I think he's conditioned them really well. I think it's almost a relief. Now, again, you know, they've got some young guys who have, you know, Jalen Smith, Jarrett Grace have not been in this situation. You know, Ronnie Stanley has not been in this situation with the crowd noise and not being able to hear yourself think. These freshman running backs and Amir Carlisle, you know, have not done this. But Tommy sure as hell has, and Farley has, and Nick's into it. It's going to roll right off their back, and Shembo could care less what's going on around him. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be an animal, and Bennett and Kavari are, you know, don't even pay any attention to that stuff. So, you know, I don't think the moment is going to get into the heads of too many of our guys. And I think they're going to, this is the kind of thing that they, you know, are kind of, that they thrive on, and they're not afraid of this spot, and I think that's going to demonstrate itself too. I mean, Devin Gardner really has not played a big game for Michigan yet, right? I mean, he played a bowl game, but I mean, he hasn't played, you know, you know, I guess, well.
Yeah, nothing like
that. I don't think so. I mean, Ohio State was big last year, but not as big because Ohio State wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, I don't even remember exactly when he took over completely for Denard last year. It was kind of, you know, back and forth. But isn't this really his first kind of meaningful game at quarterback?
I think big one, yeah, under the lights, no doubt about it. I was going to bring up the topic of the fact that I think we were the only team. Everybody struggled last Saturday, but somehow we dropped three spots in the coaches' poll. But anyways, yeah, as far as I'm leaning your way, Ed. I mean, my gut tells me it's 31-17 us, and I might not even be surprised if we're down 10-0, and we still end up 31-17. But the worst case scenario, we're 24-17 because we turned it over.
Right.
Once or twice. However, I do feel the same way. I really think that at the end of the day, we're a better football team. We're a little bit better position skill-wise as a result of that because of the play of Tommy Reese in the last few games. That's going to be my prediction, even though I posted on Dome and Domer 24-17 about the game. I'm changing it to 31. All right, good deal. Well, look, I'm hoping that for the, I think this will be the 17th or 18th time in a row during the regular season, Dome and Domer opens up its show next week talking about a Notre Dame win.
That'd be nice.
So let's hope that's the case. All right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.